Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are here in the great pillar of fire somewhere, getting ready to bring forth the voice that will bring the dead out of the ground, having brought forth the shout which must come to a full harvest. And we trust that it's coming to that full harvest, that this message is making ready the prepared bride. And she's got on the garment of the Word. Brother Branham said, I believe I've come to address a bride to find that one in the waters of separation. And we have come out and stood with your Word, Lord. We're depending on you now, and depending on the blessed Holy Spirit to give us strength and help, quicken our minds, and we may receive great good from the service this morning, you know. And I know that I haven't really prepared as I should. There are thoughts in my mind, Lord, and I'm a very lazy type of person, and too careless, I know. Yeah, but you forgive us and remember the people. They're the ones that need it. So we just pray, Lord, that not so much for the vessel, but pray for the Word to come out of the vessel, and for those that love your Word, love your promises, and stand by grace in this hour, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you know we're in the seat of discrepancy, and the time before last when I brought the message, I started on page 9, and Brother Branham said, now, as I've said, Judas had no real faith. And yet we know that Judas, by the power of God, healed the sick and perhaps even raised the dead. And until he got thoroughly dissatisfied, overcome as the devil overcame him, I'm sure he had a very glowing testimony. And the point is this: why would he not have a glowing testimony concerning what God did through Jesus Christ? Because it couldn't be denied. Well, the same thing with Brother Branham. Even today they'll admit that he had a ministry that's comparable to Jesus Christ. There are those that saw him. And they had to, for conscience sake, talk about him. Some even for conscience sake, because they know he's vindicated, will bring a message. And they don't even know who came down. The Lamb came down. Where's the nail prince? Where's the prince in the sand? See, it's Brother Branham was bucking an impregnable wall of discrepancy, which is the Word of God perverted. See, so Judas had a make-believe faith. See, a make-believe faith. Well, a make-believe faith is not a real faith. It's a counterfeit. See? So therefore, he never had the true passive faith of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nor could he get it. In his dying moments of suicide, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. That's as far as he got. Innocent blood. He knew the man was a good moral man. He knew he'd been anointed of God and done great things. You couldn't put your finger on Jesus. But he says, innocent blood. He never had a clue to the Lamb of God. Well, you can't fault him too much because after all, the rest didn't either. There are so many strange things in Scripture that people believe today that just make me wonder, hey, do they know how to read? Like Newt Gingrich said, you got these guys with diplomas coming out of college, can't even read and write. Well, you got people in the Bible here, they've been taught to beat as a carrot for so long, you'll never change them. You won't get away from Trinity. Because if we believe in one God, three people? Well, if a man had two wives, they'd call it bigamy. Or might call it trigamy, I don't know. Triunity? Trinity? Language has lost its meaning. I will show you that as we go down the road. Now, he said, as Brother Branham's ministry was truly an apostolic ministry, he had to be fought. Because if God is going to use one group of people, or a person, to show forth the reality of the living Word, by which I mean healing, and these other gifts are in the Bible, they have got to disprove somehow that this man is right, because that makes them wrong if he's right. So this guy said to Brother Branham, he said, "Brother Branham, I admire you, but I'd like to straighten you out." Well, he said, "There's no better time than now, because I want to be right." And so he said, "Well, what you're doing, you're trying to introduce to a world an apostolic doctrine," and said, "The apostolic age ceased with the apostles." Well, 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 well. I wonder if that guy knew the first thing about the Bible. I don't think he did. Let me just read to you. If I can find it. I can find it. No worries here. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ." You hear what I said? What is he before? What is he called before he's called a high priest? Let me hear it. Apostle, right? Has the age of Jesus stopped? This man calls himself a preacher. Well, he is a preacher. I know who anointed him. I know who his boss is. I know where he's going. You say, "Brother Ben, you shouldn't say those things." Listen, judgment has set in, and the bride is declared righteous and nobody else. I didn't do the judging. I'm not vindicated. I'm not a pillar of fire. I'm not William Branham. Well, I can say what he said. This man is a seed of discrepancy. So when Brother Branham showed him, Peter had the keys. Said, "Men and brethren, what can you do to be saved? Repenting every one of you. And you're going to see the gift of the Holy Ghost." He said, "How can the word contradict itself?" The man said, "I got an awful cold tonight." Brother Branham said, "I think so too, see." Now you tell me, is God still calling? If God's still calling, then the apostolic age is still in existence, certainly. "As many as the Lord our God shall call, ever will call, as many as he shall call, it will still be the apostolic age." You understand, apostleship and high priesthoodship go together. You don't say, "Well, now this side of Jesus is the apostle and it'll run out, and this side over here is the high priest, that'll run out." Well, there is a certain truth in this respect. All of those that are truly born again in the apostolic age, they'll be in the millennium, temple worship, and I have no doubt that Jesus will be the high priest. Whether God's incarnate in him to his fullness, don't ask me. I have nothing to tell you. Millennium's a great mystery. Except I know that when we leave here, we're going to go on with God. What else would we want to do? If in this hour, in this age, Brother Branham said some of the mysteries under the seven seals and these thunders, take us back before the foundation of the world. Where do you find in Scripture how that God gave birth to his Son? "To this day have I begotten thee." And then again, when he raised him dead, he said, "I've begotten thee from the dead." The only begotten Son. He's the only one that God begat. Then they made Adam and Eve. Gave them two spirits, in the sense that one was a female, one was a male, within one body, to be separated later on for propagation. Brother Branham said sex was absolutely for propagation. And God breathed in Adam the breath of lives. Eve was a part of Adam. You don't find God breathing into her. They both have the same life. A woman's soul is no different from man's soul, as far as I'm concerned. It's her spirit. I don't think about the Bible saying woman's soul is different than man's soul. If anybody can find it, I'd just love to have you show me. Okay? So you can't go by hearsay or by your own thoughts or by something that's metaphysical. So there's an apostolic age going on. And in the sense that it was an apostolic age that brought this, it will still go on. It won't terminate, in my understanding. I'm just throwing some thoughts out. That is to say, the continuity of the Spirit, what God was doing, though He may not do these things that we're seeing in the Bible here, going on to a higher level. My, I wish I was a faithful servant, because I'm one of the fivefold ministers. I teach a little bit. Brother Manning said, right, I got a little tiny gift, but he flattered me compared to his. And I like flattery. Makes you feel good at times. It makes me feel good. And temple worship. Brother Branham said that once you are what you are, you always will be. He said the witch of Endor called up old Samuel. There he was, his long flowing beard. He was still a prophet. Don't you think William Branham will still be a prophet? I said, how's it going to fit in? Who cares how it fits in? Forget it. Elijah didn't care how somebody bought him a... No, he didn't bring ham. Some people said the crow stole a ham. That's a lie, because Elijah wouldn't eat pork. He might have brought him a bread and fish and stuff. What did he care how it got there? It's like the little old lady, you know, she... religious as all get out. She's not just religious, she's a good Christian woman. Widow by herself, had no money. But she prayed every day for food and sustenance. Some kids came by one day and they heard her praying to God for bread. So they said, let's have some fun with the old girl. They went downtown, bought a loaf of bread and threw it in the window. And she said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the bread. Thank you, my God, for the bread. Well, the kids didn't quite like that. They knocked on her and said, we brought the bread. She said, son, I don't care if the devil brought it. God sent it. That's maybe going a little too far. But you can carry that too far. Now, today we find this discrepancy. Now, the discrepancy means there's something missing. There's a difference. And the difference could be having taken from or added to. So Brother Branham calls this the seed of discrepancy. And a seed means it's a literal person. Now before I go further, I've got to go back to the last message I preached, because I know I left some wrong thinking. And I should not have used the term as I did use it. Brother Branham mentioned that God is the Word, and the Word is a seed. And I carried it too far back to where my pronouncement was, God Himself is a seed. No, God Himself is not a seed. He's a seed bearer. See? He's the Creator. So I blew that one. Mark it out of your minds. See, we got to correct every error as we go along. Another error I made years ago, I read a book about the Tower of Babel. The tower they built to the skies is supposed to be an 11-acre round circle with an obelisk in the middle, 12 signs of the zodiac, and the scholars all said they knew better than to try to build a tower to heaven. They were too smart. This is just... They got off track, because the Bible was written in the heavens first, you know, the signs of the zodiac. Brother Branham doesn't say that, so I got to take that back. Brother Branham gave several reasons why they built that tower. And what I forgot was this, that all the smart brains died by the time Nimrod got there. They didn't understand nuclear fusion, bombs and things they had back in Noah's day. They brought on the great flood. They didn't know those things. In their hedonistic mind... But they did know there was a flood. So they're going to build a tower so high, if a flood came, they could escape. Another reason was they built the tower so they could face God. Brother Branham also brought it's a type of organization. And he also brought out it's the reverse of Jacob's ladder, with angels descending and ascending. They tried to make their own ladder and their way to heaven. Now there's about 5 or 6 pages of quotes. You can get them yourself. But I've cleared the record. I don't believe the historians fool you on them. They're a bunch of idiots. I believe Brother Branham. If he said it, that's it. Because we must remember he was a historian. Paul never was a historian. No history. He was a theologian. A true apostle teacher from God. Taught by God himself. Face to face in the Arabian desert or wherever he was. See? But you go to Moses. It's credited Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Where did he get his knowledge? From the Most High. And you'll notice that knowledge is a peculiar knowledge. Just what God wanted to give us. And nothing else. There's a lot of links missing. So that obelisk and that thing on the ground, I don't care two bits about it. The same person that wrote that wrote the book about the Nephilim being angels that came down, bad angels, and got into bad men, pressed themselves in human flesh, and they had these children which were giants. That's why it's a pit of hell. The giants came from Cain. So you see, I can give you wrong information, but you can also see, I can take it back. I don't want anybody, fool anybody. I've got to preach to the best of my ability, clear as I can, this great word of God. Now, you said we find today this discrepancy has been sowed through every age. Every age they denied the apostolic ministry. See, they couldn't produce it. It's at the end time the false anointed ones come. Now, there were a few gifts. History proves that there were a few men who spoke in tongues, interpreted. Brother Branham talks about St. Martin and these men. St. Patrick, godly people. The gifts were among them. Irenaeus said there's hundreds of gifts in the bride. And I showed you how that was in Romans 12. Just being a cheerful giver. Forgiving people happily. Showing forth good works. There's not one of you here this today that's born again, a seed of God, that doesn't have within it and within you the potential, no matter what you think, to bring out what is in you and to be natural. See, I know you think, and it's true, that the fivefold ministry has to study. It does. But you can study day and night. You can lead the Word of God out like nobody else ever thought of doing it. 100% wrong. There's something that goes with it called the anointing. And that man who gets in that pulpit better have his anointing ahead of time. Because it's a teaching. That's what the anointing really is. So we have the end time worse than ever. If it was possible to get it done the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'd do it. But you can't. That is the show. It's in every age. Just study your history. You'll find it. The Pentecostals did. They went through the books. They went everywhere to prove their point. The tongues was the evidence. All they did prove was somebody somewhere sometime was speaking in tongues. People were being healed. Like I told you about Holy Ann up in Canada. How come she could drop a bucket in an empty well and bring up water? This is God's truth, I'm telling you. From way back, I've known of it. I'm sure I wasn't lied to. The history's still there. Sister Bosworth had no money. The gas ran out. She prayed to God. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Goes 2 bits in the meter. Was it stuck there? Oh, stuck there. Now it went through. Who cares? Always want to ask questions. Questions, questions. My God, have pity. Have faith in God. I'm like the old lady. I don't care who brings the bread as long as I got it. Just don't bring any cake, please, because I'm off of sugar. In fact, I went so far as I have a cup of coffee this morning, and I'm off of coffee. See, my head would go clear. They'd clear me for 5 minutes, so I forget the coffee. Kind of, I'm hazy again. But that doesn't matter. That's beside the point. See, if I could do the next 15 minutes, I'd do it. Down through the ages, most all of us read the Bible. And now, like when Jesus came, and he found that discrepancy. What discrepancy? the departure from the original word and adding to it, taking away what they didn't want and adding to it. You know that they got so bad they actually would weigh the metal, the nails were in their shoes, so they weren't carrying too much weight. They'd be working. They criticized Jesus for healing a man on Sunday, and he said, just a minute, if your neighbor's ox falls in a pit and you don't pull him out, what kind of a guy are you? Now, what's the matter to you fellas? Here's a man, son of Abraham, the seed. He's here for healing. He's got it. And you're against it. You know your own Bible said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you're trying to make it the devil's. Just like Church of Christ. And some of them are the loveliest people at Church of Christ. One man fooled me so completely. He's a Church of Christ preacher. I never got to know him. Except talking in a furniture store. Never found a lovelier, sweeter spirit. But if he says the devil heals, he ain't going where I'm going. He said, Brother Vail. No, don't Brother Vail me. Listen, this word has been proven. So shut up and sit down. You're not fooling with an imitation God. Do you realize Jesus was actually the image of God? Adam was made in the image. Jesus is the image. That means anything here we'll know is going to come through him. He's the one you'll see. He's the one that'll be on the throne. That makes me happy. If I can just be a friend standing by, that's going to be good enough for me. And now, like when Jesus came, he found that discrepancy contrary to what the real word was, you see. He was the word made manifest. Now watch. He was the word made manifest. He was God's interpretation of the word. Because he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Now, they couldn't have possibly known that. Unless Jesus was the fulfillment, the manifestation, and thereby the interpretation. Now that goes for John the Baptist. Who are you? I'm the voice of one crying on earth. I'm Isaiah 40 come to life. I'm Isaiah 40 standing right here in flesh. Oh, John. Ooh, that's carrying it too far. That's carrying it too far. I look at these people and say, yes, I believe my soul came from God. Now listen to them talk. Yeah. There are those who go, oh yeah, my soul came from God. Watch how they interpret Brother Rand's message. Write books on black holes and everything else. Send their kids out to play ball on Sunday. You hear what I'm talking about? Yes, you're my congregation this morning. I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to me. You couldn't hide from that man if there's 50,000 sitting there, 5 million. Do you think you can hide from God this morning? Do you think Nabal can hide? Do you think he doesn't know my thoughts? You think he doesn't know my real heart? My real intentions? You're badly mistaken if you think he doesn't, because he tries to arrange their heart and he says, you don't even know your own heart. So there stood William Branham. And they couldn't deny it. A man even wrote a book, A Man Sent from God. Stole $50,000 from Brother Branham. Dying of carbuncles. Brother Branham had to go and pray. He still didn't understand who Brother Branham was. Do you know this morning the knowledge you have from the Most High God? There's not one in a million have what you've got this morning. One in millions. It's just like Brian told me the other day. He said there's 3% of all the Norwegians go to church. And there's not even 1% of that 3% that believe this message. When they do, you ought to hear what they say about it. Everybody comes by, they believe what the guy says. open door, open minds. Take any old garbage. Jefferson doesn't know better. They call the presence garbage. Why'd they come and debate with me? Why'd they come and give us quote from quote? If you don't know who came down with that shout, I got news for you. Brother Banner said the same one who didn't trust anybody but himself to come to Adam and Eve, the same one came down. And here's his picture. So who came down? Elohim came down. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Come down here to set the church in order. You know that? Let's go look at it. Here's something I never thought of the other day. I've been criticized. Even my, what I consider my best friend in the flesh said, Lee Vale's a dangerous man to listen to. Yet he doesn't have any trouble talking about the prophet, anything he wants to talk about. I don't begrudge him. Hey, I'm happy. On this ground, Brother Branagh said they won't want my gift. If they wanted what I got, then Brother Branagh would be a liar. You never catch him in a lie. All right, now listen, here's what it says in Ephesians 4. Paul said, "They therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation, worthy of your calling." Now, who said that? What apostle said that? Huh? Paul. Thank you. Now, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul came and revealed it to whom? William Branham. So, all right, who are you listening to when I read this? You're listening to God. And you're listening, you've read it from one man, and you heard it from another man. And it's got to be identical. Right? Sure, it's got to be identical. Don't you dare change one word. So, since the truth of the Pauline epistles has been decimated, desecrated, and made into discrepancies, then we'd better heed a vindicated man who takes that word and tells it to us and doesn't change it. So, all right. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. You think Brother Branham wasn't a prisoner of God? Why did he tell you he's like a man fitted into a pipe? Like a straitjacket. All his thoughts were of God. Do you think that he could tell you something that wasn't of God and God answer back? No, 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 brother, sister. Let's get the integrity of God straightened out here. God's no liar. He's no fool. I beseech you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That word vocation means your true calling. Your calling this morning is to be a Christian, to walk like Christ. Your avocation may be that you're an engineer. Seamstress. Doesn't matter. That's just what you live by. Physically. We live by the life of the Word of God. Now, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, when you forbear, it means you don't do what you would normally do. Somebody gets in a tight corner. Now, you've got problems. You just bear with it. That's what I like about Frank Proctor. That's why I love the boy. And I want solemn prayers for him. I certainly trust that he lays aside everything. He told me, Lee, he said, I've wondered about what you're saying for 25 years. He said, it was too much like a sideshow. I'm glad you told me. And he said, furthermore, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That encourages me. I'm a great guy to get enthusiastic. I remember years ago, a little girl said to me, Lee, I sure love the way you are. She said, you can get enthusiastic even over an ice cream cone. I said, yeah, because I don't get very many of them. I'm very enthusiastic and praying. Now, in love. Now, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, the unity in the church teaching amongst the believers should be accepted by everybody, but it doesn't mean it will be. You might not have a pastor here. I don't know. My days are numbered. You know that as well as I do. Why, hi, I've got the strength to preach this morning. It just came over. It wasn't a cup of coffee. Don't worry. Well, it tasted good. But it wasn't a cup of coffee. Don't worry. The thing is, you can have some differences, which you shouldn't have, and keep your peace. But you'll find people want to spread their junk. Especially behind my back, and then tell me they don't agree with my teaching. Yeah, I don't care if you agree or not. How are you going to come against the word, the prophet of the word that told me his gift was like mine? He flattered me, of course. You think God's going to tell me something contrary to the prophet? You think that word won't correctly veil? That word correct you? The word corrects error. I had some errors I brought up and told you. I had nothing to hide. I was going to hide something that hid in my nose years ago. Now it says there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. In other words, everybody has the same earnestness, the same set before him on the common level. Now, if you're not called to be a teacher, you're not. Why, don't butt your nose in and pretend you are. Get on the road and show you can do it. Well, Brother Bear, why did you say that? That's what the prophet told me. Get on the road. And I did. I got in the road too, I guess. But that's par for the course. See, you got one hope of calling. What calling is that? The called, the elected. Well, let's just take a little peek. Sheep are sheep, right? Pretty hard to mistake a sheep from a sheep, though they might be different color. Different horns, different sizes. Pretty hard to mistake. But they're sheep. Well, that's what Paul says here. Now, let's keep going. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, of course, to me, that one faith is that common faith, which I call passive. Because he talks of being one mind. One baptism. One God and Father of all. Ask you a question. Was Jesus really the Son of God? Certainly. Certainly. No two gods, one God. Go to your scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're companions with him. And he stands in the church and he's not ashamed. Not ashamed of David, he's not ashamed of Solomon. Solomon with all his wives, the glory of God in the temple, this young man, given this wonderful gift, the world fell at his feet, and his wives turned to the type of heathenism. You know, that staggers my mind. I believe Solomon's going to be there, ordained to God. David will be there, murderer. Absolutely knowingly committed murder. You think David has lost his stature as the prophet king? If you have, I got news for you. You're wrong. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Doesn't say he doesn't do it. Little bride, you didn't even do it. You got trapped into it. All right, now listen. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What measure, I don't know. But at least there's a common measure. And there could be an added measure. Because God might have wanted you to be a martyr or something. But it tells you that God is doing this. According to the measure of the gift of Christ, you will have grace for your ministry, for your life. Now watch what he goes into. This measure of grace. It's like the measure of faith. You have to have a certain measure of faith to prophesy. and another measure of faith greater in a greater realm. To pray for the sick and those things, that takes faith. Every man doesn't have the same measure. Now he's going to have basic. You understand what I'm saying? He's a sheep. Now watch. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first to the lowest part of the earth. And he that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now that's the time he came down to Paul and set the church in order. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Or evangelists, pastors. Now then, that's that spirit that came down and set the church in order. I'm asking you a question now. If Brother Branham categorically said we've got to go back to Ephesus, and he's here with the true revelation that Paul brought, same pillar of fire, same God, I want to ask you a question. Did Brother Branham then, or did God, through William Branham, a replication, as it were, of Paul, would God change this so there's no longer a fivefold ministry? Well, the people believe it is. There's no fivefold ministry. I'm criticized that right now by a very good friend. Don't listen to him. He's going to get you in trouble. Well, if you're in trouble, I'll answer for it. Not your lives, but the word I'm giving you. Brother Branham, before he died, told a man, he said, there's not that many true fivefold ministers right now. Where is there one word that Brother Branham contradicts the Apostle Paul? If he contradicts the Apostle Paul, William Branham's a false prophet. He's preaching about himself. See the discrepancy. But the peculiar thing is this, that I tried to bring out in here, above this, it says, Jesus came and he found that discrepancy contrary. He was the Word made manifest. He was the interpretation of the Word. Because he said, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify me, where you get your eternal life. Now the Bible absolutely says, the Word of God gets restored. And it's to the Gentiles. Third chapter of Acts. Elijah must truly come. Then Elijah will be the manifestation of that Word and thereby the interpretation. And you can do what you want with it. Reason your own thinking. Have your own thoughts. I got no problem. None at all. William Branham was the fourth Elijah, after John the Baptist. And there's a key verse in the book of Malachi that says that this Elijah will turn the hearts of the children, of the fathers to the children, and the children back to the fathers. But John the Baptist only did one half. Who's the other man that's going to do it? Got to be somebody to do it. Got to get you back to your fathers. Who's your fathers? The prophets. True fivefold ministry bringing the Word of God. Now what's going to happen? This didn't happen in the beginning, but Paul said it's got to happen. For the perfecting, the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. A fivefold ministry is supposed to do it. Why do you think Brother Branham preached that sermon respect for the ministers? Because they don't have respect. A man come to me and say, I don't agree with what you're teaching the last 2 Sundays. He says, what's to agree? I own the pulpit, got $100,000 in a contract in it. Shut him up for good. He's going to tell me he takes his kids to practice on Sunday? Now listen, you people, get this straight. This is the Lord's day. We consecrate His resurrection. You better hold it like that. When I was a kid, all we could do is go take walks and a few things. When you get together, don't just come together for fun. When you want Sunday night services here, when Luke comes, you can have them. Be more steadfast in Christ, more sober. Let me tell you, that day's upon us. The other day I was riding in a car with John McCrae. And I begin thinking, because I've told you many times, Popey, old boy, you're right. Natural birth control, I know it's hard on people. I know it. I make no apologies. I sympathize with every young person. But he also said no abortions. And a strong right wing is coming together, millions of voters. And they're going to have to back the Pope. And the Pope has declared that he will lead the three great monotheistic religions. And in Arafat made his statement about Jerusalem. The Pope came right behind and said, hogwash. I said, hogwash for the Pope. He wouldn't say that. He's a nice guy. And he said, no. It's going to be for three religions, and he's going to top it. And did you know that this Pope said, there's a bad Pope coming? That's why I'm choosing my college of cardinals very carefully, so that I won't be to blame. The Catholics themselves know that they're the whore Babylon. And the Protestants will fall for it. The Pope has said Mary's got to have a special place. Well, even amongst us, if you've got a female Holy Ghost, there's no problem. If the Branhamites can take that before the riffraff of the denominations, take that word back. The discrepancies. Stick with Brother Branham. It is now rumored, because the pagans brought in their religion to the Jews, there's thoughts in the archaeology magazine that maybe God does have a consort. Maybe He does have a wife. They made David a sleazebag. Can you understand? Well, there's only going to be 144,000 sealed in out of millions and millions. You see your money system going? It's gone. But America still controls the finances, 74% or better of the world's commerce. The Pope's got the gold. Understand now, Congress is going to ask the Pope to come and visit as a worldwide ambassador envoy. Religion and politics coming together. So that political religion, if you don't believe in a Trinity, you don't believe in this muck and mire they're going to teach you, you can starve. Now, I feel sorry for young people because I'm old enough I could starve quite easily. When I had Canada that time, I didn't want to eat. Went down 140 pounds. If my wife hadn't taken measures and forced me to eat, I'd been dead. It's not as bad as you think, but I don't really think about it. I'm not anxious to die. But my time's in His hands. Now listen. For the perfecting of the saints. That's equipping. You get that through the fivefold ministry. See? The Holy Ghost was sent for that, really, but you get it through the fivefold ministry. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ to build it up. It takes God through His ministers who teach the people to bring this body up. See, Stephen wasn't one of the original ones. He wasn't one of the apostles. Or Philip. Stephen was the one that died, the martyr. He just was a convert. But man said he preached the gospel by the power of the Holy Ghost. He's one of the deacons. Call him deacons. That's not scriptural. Now, shall we come in the unity of the faith? Now, Paul starts with the unity of the faith, and he said God has equipped His bride to get her back to that unity of faith where they believe correctly. Now, let's face it, I don't say everybody's got to have the same depth of insight. But what you're looking at is vindication. Now remember, I showed you that in 2 Corinthians. So, we're going to look at it again. This same sermon, Brother Branham said, examine yourselves. He said, prove yourselves. Now, what does Paul say in the 13th chapter? Saying, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now, he's saying, I'm going to bring reputable men with me that can prove that God has vindicated me. Because nobody does what I do. Nobody can do what I do. Because it is not I doing it, it is God in me doing it. The same thing that Brother Branham said, that Jesus said. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present. The second time, and being absent, I write to them which therefore have sinned. They're lying about the word. They're lying about Paul. Now watch, I'll not spare it. Seek ye a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Look how he puts that. See, seek ye proof of Christ speaking in me. The word's coming from me, not from anybody else, and it's Christ. You're not being taught by me, you're being taught by Jesus. And that word is mighty in you, and you don't know what you are doing to yourself and others by denying it. How mighty is that word? See? Now watch, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Christ died for that word, being the word. And God raised him. Now the point is, how mighty is that word that's in you and me? A name above every name. Every knee must bow. Things in heaven and things under the earth, no matter where they are. He's the supreme authority. He makes sure nothing gets between us and God except Him. Stands right there, making sure that our inheritance in the saints, which is the word, indwells our hearts liberally and richly. Now watch. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust you shall know that you're not reprobates. In other words, it looks to me like this church was pretty weak, and it was a weak church. They had their schisms. They had their problems. But Paul didn't wipe them off. But he did say after the first and second admonition, he said, it's a heretic. These people were a troubled people because of gifts. The church wasn't in order. And Paul wants the church in order. And it comes today, the same as it came yesterday, by Christ in the man. God in the man. Vindicating. God. Vindicating the prophet. Vindicating the word. Threefold vindication. And if you accept that, you are threefold vindicated. God must accept you. Christ loves you, stands by you. And the word can't condemn you. See, it's going to get better as time goes on. See now, watch what he said at the end time. Here we come in the unity of faith, which they had in the beginning, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now notice, knowledge of the Son of God, who He really is. They lost it. They made Him God. Jesus isn't God. It's like Brother Branham said, He's God, but He's not God. He made us a horse, but He's not a horse. He's just telling you the truth. When God incarnated Him, there was the supreme deed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Spirit, which is Elohim, We can't see him. He's here with his bride. Don't worry. He's got a voice going to bring out the dead. Trumpet going to raise us up. That's right. That's the Bible. That's vindicated teaching by a vindicated prophet. I want to tell you that, brother, sister. He is that Son of God. They turned into a trinity. Now that Jesus only come on the scene, they make the Father the Son. The Son isn't the Father. I can tell you right now, I am not my Father. If I were, I might be in hell roasting by now. Let me tell you something. Your biological birth is nothing. Doesn't matter who bore you. You could have been born in a house of prostitution by some vulgar, horrible person. But God, knowing that seed, picked you right out. Out of the pig pen, hog pen, chicken pen. Listen. He, by manifestation, became the interpretation. Like John the Baptist. Let me tell you, by manifestation, he is the interpretation. That is Elijah, which was for to come. He said, Brother Bale, I believe there's other ways of knowing it. You're crazy. You're a reprobate. Merciful God, what seed are you from? How dare you look at that picture even and say you believe that's a real prophet of God? Your words lie. They're back in your face. That's a picture of the Shekinah glory. The light hit the lens. You're not living in a fool's paradise. We're going to find out one day to our shame. We never believed like we should have believed. No. We're not giving enough time to this blessed word. And every born-again son and daughter of God of this age is the interpretation of the word. Now what does that mean? Just what it says. Now Jesus was the interpretation of the word because he believed that word and he lived the word like you and I will never do it. But we believe this word. We identify with it. So we are the interpretation of the end time word. We believe in Brother Branham. Oh my goodness, Kentucky hillbilly. Why, he doesn't even say amen right. I don't care what he says. He can drop his H's or put them where they don't belong. He can make any rhubarb he wants as far as I'm concerned. I got no problem. I listen to the word that's vindicated. I got my start because I didn't know that he was infallible. A certain guy that put me wise to the fact that Brother Branham's infallible is now out in the world. Crazier than a hoot owl. The man that preached the sermon at Sister Needy's funeral. And I was disgusted with it, to be honest with you. Got messed up with him and gone back to the Catholic Church. Now I ask you a question. You shouldn't have Frankie Proctor here discerning one of those guys preached it. Well, Frankie will never discern again in this church. He'll be well advised, trained. See, if you love somebody, you work with them. If you got doubts, they'll hinder you. See, this bride here is the manifestation. Brother Branham got caught up behind the curtain of time. He said, who are these? They're Branhamites. The ones who won that you won. 90-year-old woman. When she died, before she died, came age of 90, the minute to the gospel of Jesus Christ under William Branham. Here she was like a 16-year-old girl. Do you recognize her? No, I don't recognize her. She's 90 years old and she got saved. Think about the future we've got. And they don't even have glorified bodies yet. They got like a wisp. A little in between. What will it be like in that day? It's just too marvelous to think. Now he says here, everyone born again, son and daughter of this age, is the interpretation of the Word of God. And there's only one message with life in it. See, now, we'll keep going. You are written epistles, read of all men. Well, what is an epistle? It's a letter. What is a letter? It is a written communication. What written communication do we have? Vindicated Bible. Where is it? So, Brother Dale, I don't live too good a life. I can believe that. Clap. I know trouble. Don't even bother confessing it. Anytime this church gets up and starts confessing your sins, I'll throw you at the door. Confess them to God. Go to the guy you sinned it. First thing happens when you get this funny spirit on them. I saw it in the Methodist years ago. Church goes downhill. See, they want to do it their way. Do it God's way. My brother Banner said to one person, it takes the skin off you. Go ahead and do it. See, now watch what he says. Notice, and he's telling us why we're written epistles. See, why we're God's communication to the world. So, oh my, I didn't know it was that important. Well, why don't you just read your Bible? Read as the prophet said. He's quoting Paul. You are written epistles, read of all men. Yes, notice. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for discrepancy, for doctrine. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the discrepancy. Doctrine of men, creeds of men, teaching that to be the Word of God, which has nothing to do with the Word of God. So there's where you are the manifestation. You've got nothing to do with anything but the Word of God. So forget what Einstein said, even though Brother Branham quoted him. He was just giving a comparison. Forget what you read. Brother Branham warned you. You go to the old creeds and dogmas, you won't be ready for the wedding. You got to get your garments to this word here. He said, I believe I've been ordained to dress a bride. Let me find that woman of such character. Stands in the waters of separation. Hears the message and gets clothed. And I want to tell you something. The bride is all glorious within and without. At this point, we're glorious within. Outside, we're dying. Anything but glorious. A bunch of mud daubers. Fell in the mud and forgot to get rid of it. See? Now, he said, you're written epistles, read on all men. Yes. I got a note here, so I'm going to see if I can make any sense out of it. Oh, yeah. Third chapter. Do we begin to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now, what's this man saying? I'm standing here all alone. And I don't need anybody, and I don't want anybody. Now listen, that guy's got some kind of a hook on God, or God's got some kind of a hook on him. He's going to talk that way. Hey, boy, I read it here. He said, tell me, who's going to recommend me? Who's going to send me a letter and introduce me? You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are the manifestly declared, manifest it here. Manifestly declared. Thorough explanation. We are thorough explanations of this man's ministry. Yeah. We believe in serpency. We believe we're part of God. We believe eternal secure. We believe nobody but us has life. Say, boy, there you lay it down. I gotta lay it down. I gotta lay it down. Nobody else is doing it in the denomination. It's only us few people. Millions now living will never die. Ha! You're already dead. Waiting for the second death. The last great plague. See? Now watch. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. He said, I preached it. I'm vindicated. You saw it. You took it. You're a part of it. You are the manifestation, the interpretation of my ministry at the first age, the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Paul established churches and put elders over them. There's no difference, brother, sister. Let's go back to Ephesians now because I'm just preaching without notes and I care less. We're a bit here. He says here, now, till we all come in the unity of the faith. They'd already lost it in the first age. I'm Paul, I'm apostle, this, I'm that. And the knowledge of the Son of God. There's a special knowledge of the Son of God that was lost. Because the Bible said they had another Jesus. Is that right? Then they lost this one. The oneness people can't understand. Brother Branham said, I'm not oneness. Well, mercifully, what are you, Brother Branham? What he was saying, I'm not Jesus only. He was oneness, all right, oneness of the Godhead. He believed in one God. Well, he told you flat, he said, any woman can have children by two men, but he said, how can one be born from two men? Two men can't inseminate. Sperm wouldn't mix. One sperm gets ahead of another. Jesus had two fathers? He said God was his father. The Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon him. Beautiful mystery, isn't it? You talk about being screwed in bed bugs. And bed bugs can bite. I've had them bite me. All right. Now he said, the special knowledge of the Son at the end time, and that special knowledge, believe it or not, is when the ministry of Jesus Christ returned to this earth to the Gentiles. Because this is to the Gentiles. Son of Man ministry. Go to your Gospels, read all about it. Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, they asked him, what did Jesus mean? He said, he that sees me sees the Father. You're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, blasphemy. Ooh, kill him. Ooh, my. Take his head off. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Then kiss the Pope's toe. That stupid jerk, what can he do? What has he ever shown? It's all a bluff. That's not a bluff. That's reality. But you know, people don't want it. No, they don't want it. They got no room for it. Now listen. Unto a perfect, that's a mature man, full grown, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what all that means, I don't know. To me, it sort of means the body of Christ is going to get finished. But it also means this to me. Brother Branham said, the capstone cannot come down without this perfect ministry. Can anybody remember that quote? Get it on your machine sometime. He has to have this ministry like they without us cannot be made perfect. We've got the perfect word of God according to 1 Corinthians 13. They said, what does it mean that which is perfect is coming? Who's perfect but God, and God is the word, and by his grace we have the perfect revelation of the word for this hour. See? Now that's going to bring us up to the stature that Brother Branham preached of, where it's brotherly love and it's not love. And people want to see it. Because God is love. We got brotherly love, like fish hooks on our elbows, the banquet said. He said, you're sort of touchy and tacky with each other. But he said, when they get in trouble, he said, you watch how they come to you. And I found that myself recently. Help anybody if they can. Nobody's my enemy to such an extent that I couldn't do something. I hope it's real in my heart as it is in my mouth. God forbid it shouldn't be. Now, he said, that henceforth be no more children. What does that mean? Adoption. And the fullness of the adoption comes in the resurrection. So, tossed to and fro. How many of this message are tossed to and fro? I bet it's 90% of them. You go got to come to the place where this is it. See? All right. Care not every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craft is whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love. See? Love is defined. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit there. May grow up unto him in all things. In other words, we're not going to miss a trick. This age comes like it came with Jesus. Every prophet was a part of the Word. He was the Word. Fullness. You won't miss a promise. Part of that promise was what? The shout. Bringing the Word back. Now if you're part of the shout, you'll be part of the voice. If you're part of the voice, you'll be part of the trump. And you'll be there when that Spirit in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown a King of kings and Lord of lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the rose, the share of the all because the lovely. Hello him in the body. There's no mystery. That's how he came. Remember, he's the only begotten of the Father. We're not. We were put into him. And put into Adam. As in Adam, all men died. In identical manner. Everyone's made alive. Yep. Foolish virgin. Everyone. God doesn't miss anything. We miss. We won't either. Which is the head, governing all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see? That's the Spirit doing it. From whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth. Seven joints. Seven church ages. The last three reformation and the tail end restoration. Now, according to the working in the measure of every part, and Brother Branham said, every age had a measure, had a part. This time it all comes out. And not only that, it's like a Roman candle bursting past the white throne. Oh my, listen. If this doesn't give us hope, worketh in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And Brother Barron said, how can you, who love this message, not love each other? Well, that lets me off the hook if they don't love this message as I do. I can be nice, I can be sorry for them. But there's going to be that special love missing. And there ought to be more of it amongst us. I see some that I really admire. I see young people are learning to live lives, helping each other, caring for each other. And so you should make room in your homes for each other, if necessary. I don't have to say, don't say give them your own bed. They can sleep on the floor. Put a mattress down there for them. Be social minded. Don't overdo it. Be kind. Be charitable. Learn to give somebody a helping hand instead of holding your hand and say, hey, I need help. I need help. Some of you haven't learned your lesson in this church yet. You haven't learned your lesson. God has laws. If you obey them, they'll come out great. Now listen. Let me tell you something. The church began to die. How much time we got? 15 good. I can just finish this. The church began to die the same way that heaven got corrupted. Now, what we're going to do. See, I haven't even got to the next paragraph. But I like it. I want you to read with me Isaiah 14. Then we're going to go to Ezekiel. I want to show you something. Runs in continuity. 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How thou art cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet you're going to be brought down the sides to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they look narrowly upon these things. Oh my, is this the one that made the world to tremble? Is it man? Calls it man. See? It's the man, Antichrist. That made the world to wilderness and destroyed cities. Open not the house of prisoners. They're taking prisoners. Let's go to Ezekiel. What is that one? 27. Well, I went by. I'll find it again. All right. The rebuke to the king of Tyre, chapter 28. And he said, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Seas are people, multitudes. I am God to the world. I'm the God of the world. Yet thou art a man and not God. Yeah. Thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret can hide from thee. With thy wisdom, with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. Thou hast gotten gold and silver and treasure. Who's got it? Rome's got it, right? Antichrist comes from there. By thy great wisdom and by traffic hast thou increased thy riches. And thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Didn't I tell you the scripture that says, if you cannot handle the unrighteous mammon, you will never get the true riches. And the true riches are what? The inheritance in the bride, which is the word. You watch money. I see churches going down because of it. And I'm in a hard place myself because they took the whole burden of that house over there. I don't even want the blasted dump. I'm going to straight betwixt two things. Pay it all off. Put the money out in the field. See, I've got a conscience. Well, you've got a conscience. What you want to do is your business. I know some of you wanted to help in the financing in the sense. I turned it down. Maybe I wasn't smart. I don't know how glory. Don't worry. But I've got a real burden. Am I doing right by money? Brother Branham said I would never go wrong by money. Am I defrauding somebody? How can God give me true understanding when I won't accept His way of getting it? See, I'm not trying to be a moral, virtuous man up here. Forget it. Get yourself another preacher. You're going to have to take one pretty soon anyway. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee. And so on. Died the death of the uncircumcised. Now watch what he said in the 12th verse. Son of man, that's a prophet, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus and say, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's what John saw. Well, you talk about the Bible not telling you a lot of things in different places. Now watch. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Notice, it's like the ephod that covered the priest. But it's not the same. A discrepancy. It's not the pattern. Like God said, most see you make everything according to the pattern I showed thee. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. So on. Emeralds. Workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He led in the worship of God. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of the merchandise, you filled the midst of thee with violence. Look at the war going on. Therefore I'll cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted wisdom by reason of thy brightness.
I will cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, just like the atomic bomb. And I'll bring thee, see, to implode and explode. And I'll bring the ashes upon the earth and so on. Now let me tell you something. This is where the seed of discrepancy started. And this is where it ends. Lucifer was a cherub, cherubim, that covered. Jesus stood there as Michael. I don't understand it. Brother Branham said it, I believe it. Because he took his back beyond what any man could take us. There they stood worshiping God. And Satan said, I'm going to be God. I'm going to take the place of God. His own testimony was this. Now get this straight. The testimony of Satan was this. God is not sovereign. Did you hear what I said? Satan said God is not sovereign. I can beat him in his own game. I'll get above him. And he said, I'll be just like him. He said, I want equality in the things of God with you, God. Or, let me take over. You follow what I'm saying? Now, listen to me. You understand what I'm saying? Are you catching it? What was the word I used most? Huh? Sovereignty. Sovereignty. Which means God ruleth in the heavens, and on the earth you can't do one thing about it. You can't change him. You cannot change his word. You are under bondage to a sovereign. And Satan said, I can change that. Yep. Smart. Educated. Talented. Brilliant. And he says, sovereign God, my foot. He went to the Garden of Eden. And he said to Eve, yea, hath God said, if you eat of the tree, you'll die? She said, that's what he said. Well, he said, I got news for you. God's not sovereign. You're sovereign. You can make a decision. You follow me? Huh? You follow me? Okay. Now, there's where death came in. Now, for the final. What brought the second death under Brother Branham? Just sit there and think. When Brother Branham said, you Pentecostals can't stand the word predestination. I'll use the word foreknowledge. He already knew that they were dead. They changed the word. One word is all it took. God's not sovereign. Now, brother, sister, you lay that down. I'm not saying that Lee Dale knows all the answers, but I got that answer just about a week ago or so. What was it? What was it? I'd known for weeks that Brother Branham let him change the word. God manifesting their folly. Oh, we can put something to it. God's not sovereign. I'm sovereign. I can tell God what to do. And I can tell people what to do. And I'll tell you what, they'll get saved. Hallelujah. Millions now living will never die. It's predestinated they do die. The Catholic Church started out at hating predestination. Although August of Hippo said certain things about it. Today, the Catholic Church says if any man can assuredly say he was predestinated, let him be anathema.
Catholic Church is cursed.
But God blessed. You understand what I'm saying? Brother Branham said they always want to put something to it. He said, I've got a gift. I can get out of the way. People don't want to leave this word the way the prophet wrote it. See? They denied the sovereignty of Almighty God. What's going to happen? 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except to be a falling away. First the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Son of perdition, there the son of man's there. Who opposeth and exalteth himself all that is above all that is called God, or that is worshipped in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The mystery of that did not start with Paul. It started in heaven. When Satan rebelled, he said, I'm going to be like God. Who needs God? That's the Tower of Babel. They're going to run up there if there's a flood. They're going to face God. They got the ladder reversed. We're going to climb down. I'm going to tell you flat, if you never came from above, you ain't going up. Church right. I know, I do. Wouldn't care if I got a name in or not. Doesn't bother me one little bit. Well, I thank you for it. Revelation chapter 13. Sir, that's America. 13 stars, 13 strikes, 13 colonies, 13 this and that. And it tells you about verse 3 and 13. The head was wounded to death. You know, Brother Brand told how it came back. It was the old Roman Empire come back as the Holy Roman Empire. Who's like to the beast? Given unto him a mouth. That's all he's got. Speaking great things and blasphemy. And power given to him for continued 42 months. And the present pope has said, Mary's got to have a part in this. Now we got a king and a consort. Got a God and a queen. Not Lee Dale, not this church. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome and have power, given him over all kindred tongues and nations that should dwell upon the earth that worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, the foundation of the world. See, we're scot-free. If any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, smarten up, bud. He that leadeth the captivity shall go to captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. I beheld another beast. And he had even greater power, doing great wonders, fire coming down from heaven, deceives the people on earth by means of phony miracles. In the sight of the beast, it was like another Janus and Jamber, see? They make an image to the beast. They set the thing up and give it a life, an infusion of money, gold. And as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I see you got Jesus is the image of God. We got an incarnate person here. The old devil himself. No man can buy or sell except the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast comes out of Rome. See? Denying the sovereignty of Almighty God. The Pentecostal said there's no predestination. We can't take it. They can't take serpent seed. If they saw serpent seed, they'd see predestination. How would God ever condemn a part of himself? He doesn't say, I'm going to beat my kids to death. I'm going to correct them. Get them in shape. And at the end time where everybody wretched, miserable, blind, naked, he said, I'm going to send a man to get my prepared bride ready. Already prepared. William Branham didn't come to people who are going to come on earth. Nor did John the Baptist. Nor did Elisha and Isaac. No. Even 144,000. They're prepared. Vessels prepared by God. Read it in the Romans 9. I've read it many, many times and explained it to you.
The vessels of wrath prepare themselves. But God prepares the vessels unto himself for God.
Sure. So that's what you're looking at here. You're looking at the fact.
The second death hit the church. Change one word. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right, look at it. That's an organ, right? Let me call it a piano. Does that make it right?
No.
Let me say, well, there's really no organ there. It's something else. Does that make it right?
No.
Certainly not. Predestination means there's a predestiny. It's marked out and you're going to get there. And it tells you who's going to get there. The foreknown through election. The processes that God has laid down. The proof that you have the Holy Ghost believing the word of the hour. You are prepared. We're not ready. We soon will be. Now listen to me. The church world died when they changed that word. And I took you right back to the beginning. They don't believe the sovereignty of God. That God should know every flea and how many times he bat his eyeballs. How many take and make a pound to tell them? They hate sovereignty. They don't want God leading. They don't want the Word leading. They want their creeds and their dogmas. We're no different from Israel. They crucified him. Look what punishment they got. We crucify to ourselves. In other words, we hang ourselves on a cross of death. But you know what? All those bodies are going to get cut down before daylight. You can't leave them hanging on the tree overnight. You got to cut them down. And I'm going to tell you, hallelujah, when our Son of Righteousness comes with healing in his wings to take away his bride. Yep. They'll be hanging on the trees. But by the time we come back, with the great day shining for the millennium, take the earth over. They won't be there. There'll be ashes under our feet. Well, that's what we had this morning. I didn't get quite to what I wanted to. There's another verse here I want to get to you, but maybe I'll find it later. So, I trust that we're getting back in shape to preach, because that's all I know, and to eat. Sometimes we don't do too good there because we don't feel like cooking. As long as you got Angela around taking care of us, we're in good shape, though. I called her the lady that has food on wheels. I said, are you the one that has this food on wheels car that comes by and feeds old people gourmet chicken breasts? And tastes good. It's good. I appreciate it. And Trish made a great casserole. I just love lentils. And we had a ball eating the lentils and the good food. All your nice, kind acts. That's nice. We appreciate that. Cheryl takes care of the lawn, so I never go out there and mess around. He gets mosquito bit instead of me. Yeah. By the way, Gerald's an outstanding tennis player. He defeated the guy that is winning championships in Africa. I think our kids could learn tennis. We should think of making a court, even if it's a grass court. Gerald's willing to help the children. I think anybody with a heart would want to help our children. I know I get terribly upset because of our children, because I don't know what's going to happen. I see out in the world. I just thank God that... Well, I don't thank God you might get hit. I thank God. I hope I don't get hit. I'm kind of old now. But it isn't going to get any better. It won't get any better. Well, next Sunday I'll go into the verse and I'll tell you where AIDS comes from. why I came. It's in here. Right in the Bible. How it spreads. Well, did you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I just don't know what else there is. Except this is our life. And there's no life outside of this message because they gave it the second death when they changed that word. And they said, God isn't sovereign. Let me tell you, God is sovereign.
Amen.
Now, that's the thing. We better start believing here as never before. Todd can tell you God's sovereign. He should have been the prize boy in the class, and he was. He should have got the best job. Couldn't get a job. Had to come to Dayton. Why? This is where it is. Yeah. He understands it. He's a lot younger than some of you people here. I wonder if you understand as much as Todd understands. How did they get moved up here to Ohio? I wasn't a Baptist preacher. I was a renegade Pentecostal. But I prayed for their sick. They voted me as pastor. I said, what do you mean, pastor? I didn't put my name up there. Oh, we voted you as pastor. Merciful God. I didn't have a choice. They said, here's your house. It's fully furnished. I thought, yo, what's going on here? I can't figure this thing out. I went back and I told him, I said, I got voted as a pastor up there in Ohio. But I won't leave you till another man comes. You know, that's nuts. Crazy. You talk about crazy. Literally get carried up here. Why am I here? This is why I'm here. Also to get close to Brother Branham. Why did God take me to Florida, all the way down there to see William Branham up there? Because a certain man I had to meet. Predestination. I'm going through predestination now. I like what Brother Gunther told me. Listen to tape. And the man went to Brother Branham. Brother Branham told the story. And the man loved Brother Branham dearly, his family. And he was just horribly upset that they were saying terrible things against Brother Branham and his family. So he went to Brother Branham again, talked. Brother Branham said, forget it. God predestinated that. I needed it. How many, please? Are they bat their eyeballs? He knows my comings and my going. Nothing is hid from him. He knows the reins of our heart. The prophet proved it. We don't even know our own hearts. But there's a God who's sovereign. And he can show us these things. Well, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've had together. Appreciate you're going to bring Brother Luke to us for some services. Appreciate, Lord, you're listening to us concerning Frank and ministry. We don't understand, Lord. We're not dictating to him, saying you got to do so-and-so. In fact, you know, Lord, my heart was very fearful if he'd ever lay down anything, because I know what that's like. But you laid mine down for me. And I appreciate that very, very much. To be able to come to the Word, and it's just the Word that's been vindicated. And the great vindicator vindicating his Word means what has come to pass is vindicated, and what lies ahead is vindicated. Now help us to get rid of anything in our hearts this morning, Lord. Any insincerity, any doubt, anything. Bringing our minds under such control that we only know the doctrine, and we don't know the doctrine only on the grounds of a knowledge, because Satan was smart as a whip. But we understand the sovereignty. We understand God, our Father. We have a true revelation of the Son of God. These things, Lord, maybe they just need dynamizing. I don't know. Well, I know they do. I know I'm impatient. I know, Lord, that no man could hate me as much as I hate myself and be critical. But I got to believe that you, because you're sovereign, you sent a prophet to show the sovereign God. And now, Lord, rising with you by the shout, we're coming together as one body, one faith. And we that love this word will love each other. Oh, yes, Lord, I believe that the prophet, I believe that when he said that, it's the same as when he said, be a perfect Father in heaven. If you said it, you've got to make a way for it. And the sweet Spirit of Christ come into the church, healing the sick. We believe we've got a sweet Spirit in the church this morning, Lord. Spirit of believers, believing, understanding, moving, going on. How wonderful. Lord, you know my comings, my going, uprising, down, sittings. You know my motives. You know everything about me. I feel like a shady character in your presence. But I want the light to glow, Lord, and the light to come from you. I want that light from the Word to shine into my mind, my spirit, my very soul. So the words of my mouth are acceptable because they're your true words. And not only live in the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. In all love and charity and kindness and goodness, meekness and lowliness. I know Brother Branham said certain things, Lord, but maybe I carry them too far. Maybe I don't know how to bear my cross. Whatever. But I'm trying to stand loyal. And I believe, Lord, you give me these thoughts that go to the Bible that just show the truth of what is this. See the discrepancy? Can't stand sovereignty. Because sovereignty is spelled out in the Word. I, the Lord, will do it. My word will not return void. Yeah. They don't want predestination. They can't stand it. Oh, Lord, they take a Cadillac car. They could get a lottery for a dollar. They want the free chariot ride. But they're not going to believe how to get it. You want 8 souls in the ark, they want 8 million. Lord, this morning, may your spirit that's in this word, that's in our minds, that we really see, because I really believe what I taught this morning, let it turn me so cold to creeds and dogmas that my mind goes stiff. Can't even think. Make our minds so red hot, it just flow and mold, meld with the word of the living God, where only life is. There's no life outside of this message. No life. Death. Second death. White throne judgment, even in Malachi. So Lord, this morning we're just turning our hearts over to you. Purify them, we pray. Sprinkle us again by the blood. Cut away all those onion layers of unbelief. And may we walk in the light as you're in the light, and have fellowship one another and love each other. And look out for each other. Live for each other. Be so unique that we can be just a little bit like Paul, for me to live as Christ. We see these things, Lord. We see them in people. It becomes very discouraging at times that we seem counterproductive, but you said you'd get ready or prepared people. We believe we're part of that. We believe you're working on us now and helping us. And I pray, Lord, again, that everything the devil wants to put in our minds and all, will be so rebuffed he gives up trying, if that's possible. So that we are your children in deed as well as in word. Honor the King, eternally immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power. And honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. May he be honored, and we be of those who honor him and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords at that great day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.